Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
So the last time we were together, we kind of looked at what it means to watch and learn. That was kind of our theme, right? To watch and learn. And this is kind of a part two of last week's message. You probably figured that out by the graphic. But to watching and learning. And basically how watching and learning and learning and growing as a Christian often has a lot to do, not with just having somebody tell us what to do, but also very much having somebody show us, to see firsthand what God's grace looks like in a person's life, right? We get that, right? And Paul, in order to help us with this kind of understanding of how people show us, he points us to different people. One of them is Paul, or one of them is, the first one he points us to is Jesus. Like, he's the main one, right? Jesus tells us how to live, he shows us how to live, and he enables us to live the things that he shows us and tells us, right? He is literally the one who enables everyone that we're going to be looking at today. He enabled Paul, he enables Timothy, he enables me, and he enables you. He enables the Philippian church family, and Jesus enables our church family as well, right? Paul also, and this is what we looked at last week, he also sent Timothy. Timothy had been part of the very beginning of the Philippian church family. And since that time, for 10 years, Timothy had been following after Paul, watching and learning from Paul. And Paul was going to send Timothy to the church family to share what Paul had been teaching Timothy and showing Timothy, to then in turn, Timothy showing the church family all of these different things that we've been learning about in his letter. How to have unity in the church family. How to humble ourselves, just like Jesus humbled himself. And how to love and serve those around us, serving other people in humbleness, right? These things are what Timothy is going to not only show them in the letter, but also live out for a while in the life of the church family, right? This is kind of what we talked about. And so this is kind of where we're at, right? And this brings about the question is, so you're talking about how Paul and Timothy are showing other people, but really and truly, Pastor Steve, I really don't feel like I'm a Paul or a Timothy. All right, so time out, think about this. Like, so Timothy, he got to spend time with Paul like for years and years and years. And be honest, Pastor Steve, if I was able to spend time with Pastor Paul, what am I saying, Pastor Paul? If I got to spend time with Paul for 10 years, I'd probably do at least somewhat, kind of close to where Timothy's level of spirituality is. But that's not me. I don't know that I have that confidence or that grace that's flowing through me like that right now. And that's the question. What do we do when we don't feel like we're in a role of the church that gives us that avenue of grace flowing through us, right? And this is what Paul reminds us of. This is really interesting because think about this. The same Holy Spirit that enables Paul to do what he does, the same Holy Spirit that changed the heart of Paul is the same Holy Spirit that changed and grew the heart of Timothy. And that same Holy Spirit is the very one who lives inside of you and me. The Holy Spirit does not change. He still changes and grows our hearts. And so you may not feel like your role may be like that of Paul, but the same Holy Spirit that helped Paul to grow, to change his heart from a person who persecuted Christians to a believer and a follower of Jesus, that same Holy Spirit lives in you. And that same Holy Spirit gives you opportunities to show his grace in magnificent and glorious ways in your life too. And this is what we're going to see in our passage today. I can't wait to share this with you. So we're going to get to Paul's travel plans. We're going to jump in and this is cool because he's going to be showing this to us through a very not well-known person. Let's take a look real quick in Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 23 and 24. Philippians 2, 23 and 24. This is going to be where we're going to be starting our passage today. And he starts out basically with his travel plans. He's in prison, but he's fully confident that God is going to free him from his situation. And so he kind of talks a little bit about where he's at and what he's getting ready to do, right? So Philippians chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 23 and 24. He says, him, speaking of Timothy here, Timothy, therefore, I hope to send presently. Now he's in prison. He's waiting for the verdict to come from the Roman government, whether he's going to be killed for sharing the gospel, whether he's going to be put to death, or whether he's going to be freed, right? And so until he knows the answer to that, he says, I'm going to send Timothy to you so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. As soon as I find out, I'm going to send him. But he also has full confidence in God because he says in verse 24, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. I'm trusting in God. If it's God's will, I'm going to be able to go and I'm going to come to see you shortly too. And that's kind of what Paul's saying here, right? So Paul's plan is to send Timothy and hopefully, if God wills it, he's going to see them himself, right? Now, timing-wise, Paul isn't going to send Timothy right away. He's going to wait until he understands the verdict, the situation of where he's at, right? So he says, I'm going to send Timothy to you, but until I send him, wait for him. He's going to come, but wait for him for a little bit. But I am going to send someone to you right away. Who is that? It is a man by the name of Epaphroditus. He's actually one of their own, the Philippian church's own body of believers. Look at what he says in verses. We're going to kind of walk through this next passage together. Verse 25 says this. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. So exactly who is this Epaphroditus? Right. Sometimes we can read a name. Maybe you're like me where you're like reading a name in the passage, like in the Bible or something. And like, oh, that's an interesting person. I wonder what his story is all about. And like you kind of get caught up in the rest of the story. And instead of kind of following up on it to find out who this person is, you just kind of think, oh, it would be really cool to know who he was. Maybe one day I'll get to find out and then just kind of let it go at that. Right. And sometimes the story of a person gets lost in the passage that he's in. Right. But sometimes when we do that, we miss out on an amazing grace that God gives through the story of this person's life. So today, I don't want that to happen to us. I want us to be able to see at least a little bit of Epaphroditus and to see his story and see how it plays out. Because if we do, I think that you will be just as encouraged as I was as I learned more about this man's story, this man called Epaphroditus. Right? So let's take a look. First, let's look at verse 25 because there's a few hints about who he is. Verse 25 says this. I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Now, he describes three relationships here between him and Paul, Epaphroditus and Paul. And we're going to look at these later. He says this. He is my brother. He's my companion in labor, my fellow worker, right? And he's my fellow soldier. And then he kind of points his relationship, Epaphroditus' relationship, to the Philippian church family. He says, your messenger, your apostle, the one who you sent to accomplish the mission of ministering to my wants. What's he talking about there? What's the story behind that? If you know anything about the Philippian church family, you know that they loved Paul immensely. And they did everything that they could to take care of Paul's needs as he shared the gospel to all of the different places that he went to. And Paul recognizes that, and he's so thankful for that. He even kind of mentions this later on in his letter, and we're going to jump to the later end part of the letter just to kind of see what we're talking about. Jump with me to Philippians 4, just a couple of chapters later, in verse 15. So he's kind of talking a little bit. He's about to close out his letter, but he just wants them to know how thankful he is for how they have been consistently taking care of his physical and his financial needs all throughout his time of sharing the gospel. He says in verse 15 and 16, he says, Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I first started sharing the gospel, after having started the church there in Philippi, and then in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So Philippi is a city in the region of Macedonia. It's basically saying like Akirino is a city in the region of Tokyo, right? So he's basically saying, after I left your region and I went out and spread out the gospel, you guys have taken such good care of me. And he even mentions another city that he was in, verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Thessalonica is roughly about 150 kilometers away. It was basically from Akirino, from Akigawa to where we are, to about Nagano, all right? And so basically about 150 kilometers, about a week's worth of traveling, right? And when Paul said, when we were starting sharing the gospel in Thessalonica, you guys again and again took care of my needs, met my needs. You traveled down there to make sure that my needs were met. And you guys were the only ones that did it. And I'm so thankful for that. That's kind of what he's saying here, right? Then he says, verse 10, he talks about what they did for them here as a prisoner in Rome. He said, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. So he's thanking them for what they did for them for Paul here in Rome, right? The church had taken care of him, but there was a big issue, big problem to overcome for them to make sure that his needs were met in Rome, because Rome was so much further than Thessalonica. If Thessalonica was like from Akigawa to Nagano, Philippi to Rome was like the very top of Japan to the very bottom of Japan, from Aomori to Kumamoto. It's about a 1,200 kilometer trek. Mostly done, I'm sure, by walking and traveling. It was a very, very big commitment. Who's going to be able to travel that far to make sure the Philippian church had the funds ready? They were like, we've got it, but we just don't know how we're going to get it to you. We're caring for you. We're worried about you. We want to send you money, but we just don't have the opportunity. We lack the opportunity. Somebody had to step up. Be willing to make the sacrifice of stopping his job, quitting his job, maybe leaving friends and family behind, and making this long, grueling journey for months. And then being there and caring for Paul in a very difficult and very, and quite frankly, dangerous situation, even for the person who went. The person who decided to step up and go was this man called Epaphroditus. Look at what he says in verse 18. He says this. I know I'm jumping around, but this is just kind of a brief glimpse. We're, later on, when we get to chapter 4, we'll look at this a little bit more carefully, but I'm just kind of giving you a quick overview. Verse 18 says this, but I have all in abound. Your gift came to me. You guys have, I am fully sufficient. Man, you guys did more than enough for me. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. And he describes that as an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. The reason that they, the Philippian church family, were able to get this financial need, this help for Paul, and to care for Paul while he was in Rome, was all accomplished because of this man called Epaphroditus. So this is the trip. So this is kind of what he's talking about. Let's go back to chapter 2, where we're going to talk a little bit more about, get back into our passage, right? So this is what he's been talking about, about Epaphroditus and how he's going to send him back. Verse 25 says, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. But there is a problem. It's a long journey, and to be honest, Epaphroditus just barely made it. Verse 26 says, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Here's the deal. Here's what had happened. Somehow Epaphroditus had gotten sick, deathly sick, on the way there, barely made it to Rome. And in that process of getting to Rome, somehow somebody had sent word to the church in Philippi of how sick and how in danger Epaphroditus was, nigh unto death, Paul describes it. And obviously they were worried about Epaphroditus. And I think that Epaphroditus himself was kind of really worried about how much they were worried about him. And it kind of reminds me of a phrase that we say often here in Japan. We say, "Shinpai kakete moshibake arimasen." Shinpai kakete sumimasen. I'm sorry to have caused you worry. Sometimes you just say that out of just a saying, you know. But in Epaphroditus' case, he really meant it. He was extremely worried about his church family and how worried they were about him. God had saved him. He had helped him through this, miraculously healed him. He was worried about what they may try to do, maybe send somebody to help him, or that worry and that fear that he had caused because of his illness. And so he was really dying to get back, to let him know that he was okay. And so Paul decides, you know what, the best thing to do is to send Epaphroditus back to the church in Philippi. Now he was, I think he was planning on staying there until they knew what was going on with Paul, to care for him and to meet his needs on a daily basis. But Paul thought it best to send Epaphroditus back as soon as possible. And so he says this in verse 28. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. I'm planning to send him back, one, so that you can rejoice in having your brother back with you as a church family. And also that I will be less sorrowful, that I will be less worried about his state as well. And he gives him a kind of an instruction here about how to welcome him back. He says in verse 29, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. He's basically saying, give him, listen guys, he's done something incredibly important. He's made it possible for you to send that offering, that gift to me. If it wasn't for him, you would have not had the opportunity to serve me in that way. And so, because he was willing to make that sacrifice, be sure to honor him. Give Epaphroditus the honor that he deserves. He made it possible to do what you did not have the opportunity to do. Verse 30, he says, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Epaphroditus' sacrifice made it possible for the church family to love and serve Paul. So, there are a couple of things in Epaphroditus' story that are very, very interesting, and I think it'll help us and encourage us a lot. So, let's take just a few minutes to look at Epaphroditus' life, his story, dig a little bit deeper to see what Paul has to say about him, and in doing so, we can learn a lot from Epaphroditus' story and seeing how God's grace can flow through us as well. We're going to look at three ways Paul describes Epaphroditus in Epaphroditus' relationship to Paul himself. And we're going to do that by looking at verse 25. The three descriptions Paul gives in relationship to him and Epaphroditus. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my companion in labor, and my fellow soldier. These things are really incredible. The first relationship that Paul uses to describe his relationship with Epaphroditus is his brother. This is really interesting. He's a fellow child of God. He's part of his family, right? There's a deep bond there, a brotherhood. The beautiful gospel of Jesus had united them in a bond that lasts far beyond life here on earth. Think about that for a second. The relationship that you have because of the gospel is a relationship that transcends life on earth. It is a deep, long, everlasting relationship that you have with those who are part of the family of God. And I think sometimes we use that word brother or sister, and we make it a little bit too light. Oh, a brother in Christ. Oh, a sister in Christ. But it may be because that we take the relationship that God has given us a little bit too lightly. John 1:12 says this, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, this is amazing, which were born not of blood, not nor of the will of the flesh, people didn't decide this, nor of the will of man, but of God. The relationship that we have as a brother in Christ, as a sister in Christ, is literally because we have been given the special privilege of being called and being the sons of God, the creator of all things. That is awesome. That is a relationship that should be cherished because of the extreme opportunity, the extreme privilege that has been given to us by the grace of God. When you call someone your brother, it's pretty huge. It's pretty amazing if you think about what a special privilege, what a special relationship that is. Paul points that out. He's my brother. He's my brother. Part of the family of God. There's that deep bond, that deep relationship, right? Let's look at the second one. The second description that Paul gives to Epaphroditus is, this is so cool. He calls him his companion in labor, his fellow worker. Paul saw Epaphroditus as his brother, but he also saw him as a fellow worker in God's kingdom. And this is so amazing because think about what Epaphroditus' role was in the church family. He's not a pastor. He's not an evangelist. He hasn't gone to start any churches. He hasn't written any letters. I don't know that he may have had even a leadership role in the church. All Epaphroditus did was travel a very, very long way to deliver money to Paul, to take care of Paul's physical needs, and to look after him, right? But according to Paul, he saw Epaphroditus as his fellow worker, his co-laborer. He's working side by side with him in sharing the gospel of Jesus. It's true that Paul's work was publicly visible. People could see Paul's work. Epaphroditus' work was very much a behind-the-scenes kind of work, right? And yet Paul says, he and I are working side by side together. We are co-laborers. We are working together. And this is so true for how you and I work together as a church family. Like, just take this live service, for example. Like, you're watching right now in front of the camera and you happen to see me, but there's two other guys on the other side of this camera who are making all of this possible. I may be in the front, but Nolan and Ben are doing all of the work to make all of this possible. There are so many different ways in which this role carries out into church life. The things that you and I do. I have brothers and sisters right now who are praying for me and asking God to help me, to give me the wisdom and a clear flow of thought to be able to share God's word with you. If it were not for them, if it weren't for Nolan and Eli, or not Nolan and Eli, Nolan and Ben helping me through this process, this could not happen. So much of the church is like this. Even like I was just thinking right now, a Pastor Mansell and Miss Vicky are at our church right now. They are missionaries up in Hokkaido, and they're getting to stay at our church for a couple of weeks in order to fulfill their quarantine requirements, right? our church ladies took care of them in awesome ways. They gave them food. They took care of them. And, you know, that's something that nobody ever sees. Probably a lot of our church family may not have even known that they had done that. But our church ladies took such good care of the Mansells. And it's so exciting to be able to see them serving. Yes, it was in the background. Very few people knew about it. Very few people saw it. But they took care of them. So many people prepared the church building to make sure that their stay here was comfortable. All of that background work. Listen, this is what it means to work side by side. Our roles may be a little bit different in the different roles that you and I take as a church family, but that doesn't mean the importance is not there. We each, in all of our separate roles, in all of the unique ways in which God shows us His grace and flows it through us, all of that makes the church family possible. Your job is just as important. Don't forget that. The last thing Paul does is call Epaphroditus his fellow soldier. This is really interesting. And Paul says this in another letter in Ephesians 6:12, just to kind of help us understand what he means by this fellow soldier relationship that they have. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." This is the battle that Paul and Epaphroditus were in. They were fighting side by side together. I can't help but think that Paul had this really clear vision of Roman soldiers. Of course, he's in prison. He's probably chained to them, right? With these Roman soldiers guarding him and how they would be fighting side by side, shields locked together, moving steadily forward against their enemy and against the constant attacks that their enemy would be throwing their way. They were like comrade in arms, just working and fighting together, moving forward against the onslaught of attack that the enemy is pouring in their direction. It's that same battle that you and I are in right now. Literally, Satan and his demons are doing everything they can to keep us from spreading the life-giving gospel of Jesus. Satan is doing everything he can to distract us, to turn us against each other, to pull us away from the fight. But like fellow soldiers, you and I can do the exact same thing that Paul and Epaphroditus was doing. Each of us, in the roles that God gives us, work together, standing side by side, helping one another, standing together, putting our spiritual armor on, pressing forward, shields locked against the attacks of Satan, recognizing that he is our enemy, not one another, that he is the one who is opposing us, and that he is the one who we should be standing against. And in God's grace, helping and supporting and loving one another so that in our stand with one another, in our fight, in sharing the gospel so that one more soul can be freed from his clutches, one more soul can be rescued from his bondage, one more soul can find life in Jesus. This is the relationship. This is the opportunity, the flow of grace that we have an opportunity to show those around us. My dear Christian friend, my dear brother or sister, don't forget who you are. You are a brother. You are part of the family of God. God has given you the privilege, the opportunity to be a brother or sister in Christ because of His amazing grace towards you. You are a fellow worker. The work that you have, whether it's visible or invisible, whether it's in front of a camera and behind the camera, whether it's where it's publicly seen or it's not publicly seen, has no bearing on the fact that we are working for our Heavenly Father. He who sees all things sees all of your labor. We are laboring for Him, right? And so as we serve, regardless of the role in which we serve, recognize that your job is important. And recognize that your Heavenly Father sees you as a co-laborer with your brothers and sisters. Serve Him. Follow after Him. Use the opportunities that He gives you to show good works. And lastly, you're a fellow soldier. Get your armor on. See your real enemy and fight the good fight of faith. We each have an important role in supporting one another, in locking shields, recognizing our enemy, moving forward, standing firm in our faith in our Heavenly Father, so that through His life-giving gospel, another person can be born into the family of God. Another person can be called a brother or sister in Christ. Your role, whether you are a Timothy, whether you are a Paul, or whether you are an Epaphroditus, your role is critical. Own it. Make it yours. Thank God for the opportunity that you have to serve Him. And just jump in and serve Him with everything that you can. Just like Epaphroditus did. A person who is just briefly mentioned in a passage of Scripture. And yet, for Paul, he was a lifesaver. And this is what you get to do too. As you love and serve those around you, as you humble yourself, as you live in unity, and as you serve others, as God gives you the opportunity to do so. I pray that you do that. And I pray that I do that as well. As we humble ourselves, keep ourselves humble, working together, loving one another, and serving those around us as God gives us the opportunity. Well, let me close in prayer, and then we'll be done, all right? Our Heavenly Father, wow. That's all I can say. You are so good to us. These little, just brief glimpses into the story of a person's life. One day we will get to see Epaphroditus, and we'll get to see so much more of the details, the journey that it took, and the situation that he was in, and how you showed him how good and faithful you were in those situations. In the same way, you and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, Father, you have given each of us another story as well. And I pray that each of us would live out our story in faithfulness to you, in trusting you, and loving others because of how you loved us. Help us to have a story that shows your grace. Thank you for enabling us to be able to do that. Thank you for saving us. You are good to us. In Jesus' name, amen.